Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to see everybody on this first Sunday in Lent, and we want to welcome you as we begin this season of reflecting, of renewal, and walking that pathway that leads to Holy Week, and then eventually to Jesus' crucifixion, and then on the other side, our celebration of Easter. So we are glad that you're with us today, and we want to welcome you, and we pray that God's presence will touch you and minister to you today, and also those that are listening online, and that God will minister to them. And a little bit later on, we're going to be continuing our series on who is Jesus really? And so as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship this morning in the bulletin. Oh God, you're a hiding place for us.
You preserve us from trouble.
Let us lift our praise and prayers to God.
For in times of distress, God is with us.
The Lord will teach us the Lenten way as we go. So let us be glad and rejoice in the Lord.
We will sing for joy with psalms of praise.
Well, let's join together there this morning. You can turn in your hymn books to hymn number 51. And we are going to be singing four verses of that hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown, oh music but its own. Oh, wake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died
together there this morning for our opening prayer. God, our Creator and companion, your love is as fresh as the new day, rising like the sun to guide us. In Christ our Lord, you walk with us, revealing our weaknesses, yet offering us hope. In this time of worship, open us to the new possibilities you create for the world you love. Amen. And you may be seated, and I'm going to invite our children to come down this morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there somebody that you look up to? And I don't mean because they're tall. I mean because I'm tall, so you'd have to look up to me. I don't mean like that, but you look up to them because they're confident, they know things, and they can help you. Is there anybody you look up to like that? See, the older ones will get us going here. What do you think? Somebody you look up to. Let me give some hints. Maybe like mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts or uncles, brother, sister. Anybody? Oh, I said all of them. Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah. So I think there's always people we look up to. Maybe there's somebody at school that you look up to. Maybe it's a little bit older or something like that. I know there were people that I looked up to when I was growing up. My pastor was one, and his wife, my mom and dad, my grandpa, grandma, all of them. My one brother helped me out with all my 4-H projects. And so he was kind of a key person there that helped me when I was showing my steers at the fair. So that was important to me. Yeah, there's always people we look up to. And then as you get older, there's other people you'll look up to. And today, in our message, we're talking about Jesus as Lord. And that's a strange thing because we don't usually think of the word Lord. You know, we think of lords and ladies and kings and queens and people like that. And it does mean something like that, that Jesus is king. I know. Yes, I see that. She's got that unicorn. Yeah, you got one too? Ah, yeah. Yes, that's yes. And there's people we look up to that's like that. And so Jesus is somebody we can look up to. And because of that, he helps to guide our lives. You know, because like my brother, I was telling you, he's the one that helped me with my steers and how to feed them and how to show them and how to clip them and wash them and take care of them and help to get their hair to grow and all those kind of things. And so I looked up to him for that. And Jesus is one that we can look up to because he wants to help guide us and lead our lives. And he gives us all his teachings in the New Testament that give us a way to follow so that we love other people and we walk in peace and we extend peace to others and we experience joy in our lives and all of those things. And we can talk to him anytime and say, Jesus, guide me and help me and lead me in life. And he will do that. Okay? All right. You can go on downstairs this morning. Thank you, Miss Rhea, today. And as we continue on this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to share your joys or concerns. And so we want to take a moment to have you share those this morning. So somebody this morning, joys or concerns? Well,
prayers for Bob Sharp's family and his kids are Robert Sharp and Lisa Berman. He passed away yesterday morning.
Okay, so the Sharp family. We want to remember them. And so, with a loss.
Baby Koa got home from the hospital. He's still on oxygen full time, but they're hoping that people do wean up that eventually.
Good. So we want to, she said baby Koa got to go home. We've been praying for the last 2 weeks, but we want to continue praying for him that those lungs will continue to develop and get stronger. And he's going to have oxygen with him for a while at home yet. And hopefully.
Kelly talked to Angie Schaus, Milford. Her dad is Eddie Schaus. We've been praying for. And he's in hospice care now.
Okay. So we want to remember Eddie in our prayers this morning, who has gone into hospice care, and definitely want to keep him in our prayers. Yes, Grace.
Grandma, happy birthday.
Ah, yes, I saw that. Happy birthday today. Yes, I saw that when I was copying the bulletin because of the month there, and I saw it when I was looking at last month. So happy birthday, Becky. We want to welcome you. Yes.
Bill Wilkins, keep him in your prayer. And then Joy, as I've been following along, and the youth at the colleges are still doing the revival, and it's still going on at different ones. And so I just keep praising God and praying that it continues.
Yeah, a lot of worship and prayer and confession and all kinds of things continues to happen. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, and when I was growing up, and you saw it in the 80s, you saw it in the 90s, you saw it in the 2000s where God would do that. And it was just like, it's kind of like an awakening for young people. And some of the ones, I know the ones that took place in the 90s were more for adults, but it always seems to touch. But this is kind of unique in touching the young people, college age and younger. And what's going on there. So we do thank God for that. Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, that whole scenario there. You know, when I first heard they were letting folks come back, I'm like, I don't know about that yet. You know, they were talking about the water and the dead fish and everything like that. And I wouldn't be drinking that water, I can tell you that much. But we definitely want to keep those folks in our prayers. And yeah, I joke around and say I won't drink the water at the school. So, but somebody else, yes. Okay. Oh, last name?
Battle.
Battle? Okay. Okay. So we want to remember the Battle family. And I was wondering, somebody that works there at Huber Heights School. So we want to remember the Battle family. That's tough. Someone else. Yeah. Okay. Another unspoken one. And I saw another. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it's just hard on the whole family.
Definitely. We can relate to that a lot. Jody's mom fell twice this week, and she had a urinary tract infection and was in the hospital for a few days. She's back home now. Her dad has been having it rough, and they delayed his next round, which he was supposed to have Thursday, and they may be tweaking that again. So we appreciate your prayers for Bruce and Carol, and definitely, and pray for Jody. All this and everything, a lot of things, just so much has just been weighing so heavy on her and carrying the burden there for the family, and it can be just quite overwhelming at times with everything else. So, yeah. Okay. And... Oh, yes. Thank you. We want to remember Mary Sue. She had surgery on Wednesday, I believe it was. And I got to see her when she woke up. She seemed to be doing very well. and alert, and she even made a sly remark to me when I said something to her. So I'm like, oh, she still got her sense of humor. But I saw her on Wednesday, and then I saw her on Thursday again. But I got a text yesterday because of the way they had her positioned, and I was concerned about this. Karen texted me yesterday and said she has pneumonia now. So we seriously need to pray about that. That can be very serious. So we really need God to work in that situation there. Appreciate your prayers for her. I think Prayer Chain didn't know about pneumonia, but they did know about her surgery and her fall. Her fall was she broke her hip. So not everybody knew that. So any other requests this morning? Okay, so lots of different ones. We want to continue praying for Diane Brunn, who is battling cancer. She's been moved over, or she will be moved over to our monthly. So will Richard. Continue to praying for strength for him. And then for Bill, continue to pray for healing and strength for him. Josh and Sydney, continue to pray for God to work out in that situation and open a door there through that. With fertility. Diana Beasley, continue to pray for her and for God's touch and strength, and especially for her cousin who is caregiving for her right now. And then our shut-ins and our monthly list, so many there. So lots of names there that's been mentioned this morning, asking you to pray for some of those that come to your mind. And as she plays, and then I'll close us out. Prayer. Lord, as we pause today, we think about the various ones that have been mentioned today. And Lord, we know that you care for us and that you love us dearly. And we look to you and we trust in you and we call upon you and ask that you would work not only in our lives, but in the lives of these that have been mentioned, that we want to stand in the gap today and pray for today. So we think about Bill today that needs your healing touch and strength as he's recovering from surgery. We think about Eddie, Lord, today and the family as he has been as entering in with hospice, Lord. We pray for little Koa, God. Continue to pray for strength and healing his lungs. For Carol today, God, and Bruce, Lord, that you would bring strength and healing there. We lift up Mary Sue today, Lord, who was just recovering so well and then got this pneumonia. And we just ask for your healing touch for her body today and that you would help to make that, cause that antibiotic to work to eradicate that infection from her body. Lord, we think about Bob and Shirley and family, God, and so many there that with us, with so many of the different health issues going on, God, we just lift them up to you and ask that you would bring healing and strength today. Lord, we pray for Diane, Lord, as she's been battling this cancer, God, that you would bring healing and strength to her today. Lord, we pray for Richard today. Lord, asking for your continued healing touch and grace there for him, Lord, and for Diana, God, that you would just be with her and give her your strength and give her peace of mind and be with her caregiver, her cousin, God, and continue to watch over her, Lord. We lift up Josh and Sydney, asking that you would just open that womb and open that door, God, and bring an answer relief and a door, Lord. Open that door, Lord, as they are trying to have kids, and you can cause that to happen and make a way there where there seems to be no way. And so we're trusting you, God, and for whatever needs to be taken care of there, Lord, that you will work that all out. Lord, we continue to remember East Palestine, Lord, and what's going on there, and we just pray for continued wisdom and guidance from leaders, and that we'll be able to, they'll be able to get that, all that cleaned up and taken care of. And we thank you for some of the action that has been taking place there and will continue to happen. And Lord, that you'll work that all out and be with those folks. We pray for the Sharp family and the Battle family today with the loss of these loved ones, God, that you would just grant your peace and your grace and your comfort today, as only you can do. And Lord, we continue to lift up our shut-ins. We continue to pray for those on our monthly prayer list, so many of them, Lord, battling serious illness, that you would continue to bring healing and your comfort and faith and strength for each of them. And we're thankful for that today. And Lord, thank you for this time as we enter this season of Lent, Lord, as we reflect, as we are renewed, as we commit ourselves afresh to you, Lord Jesus, and that you will guide us and continue to be our Savior and Lord as we follow you through all of life. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless this time for the rest of our service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you just speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us. And also, Lord, as we come to the table this morning to share in your presence, we just ask that you would minister to each of us, each one that's here today, that you will extend your grace and your love and your forgiveness and your presence in a very real way as we feed upon you, the bread of life, the water, living water that refreshes our souls and renews our spirits. And we thank you for these things today as we ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining us in prayer. I often think of that passage where Jesus talked about where two or three agree as touching anything in prayer, that God will work that out and bring glory to the Lord. So thank you. Now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, thank you for your faithfulness. And we're grateful that God is the one that has blessed us and gifted us, that we can work hard and make a living and be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor, and but also to share that fruit and be a blessing with others. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's pray and join together for our dedication. Lord, we offer our gifts in thanksgiving for all the goodness you provide. Bless our gifts so we may become a source of goodness for others. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from several passages today. We're going to begin with our passage there from Matthew that we have been reading each Sunday during our series. And then we're going to be looking at a passage out of Mark chapter 10 and then John chapter 20 this morning. Matthew 16:15. And what about you? Who do you say that I am? And then Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and give his life to liberate many people." And then John chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, the story there where Thomas finally appears and as a part of the disciples' encounter with the risen one. After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and that God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. And so let's receive today. A young boy was observed by a minister in church praying fervently. But much to the preacher's surprise, he was also heard from time to time saying, "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." So the preacher approached the boy after he had finished his prayer and said, "Son, I'm very pleased to see that you're praying so devoutly, but tell me, why do you keep saying Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo?" The boy replied, "Well, sir, you see, I just finished taking my geography test in school, and I've been praying for the Lord to make Tokyo the capital of France." Who are you, Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? This morning, I want to focus as we continue our series, part 5, this morning, about encountering Jesus as Lord. Around 112 CE, a Roman governor named Pliny reported to Emperor Trajan about the activities of the new religious sect called Christians in his region. Wanting to contain increasing incidents involving those people that followed Jesus, the governor sought more information about the group by torturing two female slaves who were called deaconesses. He told the emperor that he had not discovered not a lot about them except their, quote, and these are the words of Pliny, their depraved, excessive superstition. The deaconesses, we were told later, as we discovered, had been found out to be Christians or followers of this Jesus or Christus through their common confession of Jesus is Lord. That's a true story. In fact, we have Pliny's letter. The first time I heard about it and read it was in seminary and learned about how second century Roman officials sought to get advice about how to deal with this new religious sect called Christus. One of the choruses that I learned as a teenager was one that you're very familiar with, and we're going to sing at the end of the service today, is He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm sure you've probably heard of that. You've sung it here. You've known that. It's been a long time that I've known it and sung it. And the very first time I heard it, my thoughts went in a lot of different directions about what that song means. What does it entail? What does it mean to say, Jesus is my Lord? And that's what I kind of want to focus this morning real quickly on before we share together at the table. And I hope that it will cause you to identify with it. But not only that, it will help you to understand a little bit more about what that means to call Jesus Lord in our lives. So let's break it down here, and I want to focus on two things. First of all, I think it focuses on Jesus is the guide of our life. Jesus is the guide of our lives. So drawing a little bit on that story I told you about the two deaconesses and what they were experiencing because they confess Jesus is Lord, some of the early Christians faced hardships because of that. I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but let me begin by saying this when we think about Jesus as guiding our lives. So when we first respond to Jesus, however that is, through faith, through prayer, through baptism, confirmation, when we start to really want to serve the Lord in our lives, we begin with this: professing Jesus as Lord is one of the first confessions of our faith. Paul says that in several places, at least three places, in his letter to 1 Corinthians, his letter to the Philippians. He alludes to it and talks about it in Romans, and he also alludes to it in Galatians. This seemed to be one of the early Christian confessions of faith. They, by saying Jesus is Lord, they were confessing their faith, allegiance, and loyalty to Jesus at baptism and beyond. And these words were personal to them. Like when Thomas, when he encountered the risen Christ in that room shortly after the resurrection Sunday, later that day, because he wasn't with them the first time they encountered the risen one. But then the second encounter he did. So he was skeptical of what was going on. And when Jesus said, "Put your hands in my side, touch my hand, touch my feet," and then he responded, "My Lord and my God." That was very personal. That was a personal experience for him in that situation when he encountered. And each of us in our own ways, however that was in our own lives, we have probably in one way or another encountered the Lord in a very personal way. And these words were almost, you could almost say, sacred to them. Later, these words were what set them apart from other people throughout the Roman Empire and identified them as loyal followers and believers of Jesus. And let me say this, because we don't think this way, because we don't face this in our day and age, but it was really a counter-confession. Because in the Roman Empire, one of the confessions that the Romans had to do ever so often was say that Caesar is Lord, the emperor. And they had to go in and offer incense as a sacrifice of worship in the shrines devoted to the emperors, the place of worship. If you remember way back, it's been a while, when I went through the book of Revelation and preached on it, I talked about that. And what was significant and what was happening in the first century that book spoke to in their lives. Now, we don't face anything like that today. We live in a different nation, a different country. We have freedoms. The majority of our country is Christian, even though we are very pluralistic in that sense. But still, we don't face anything like that. So what does this mean for us today as we're thinking about it? If it is that first confession of our faith, of our trust in Jesus and what he's done for us, more so today then, affirming Jesus as Lord expresses our desire for him to pilot our lives, for him to guide our lives, for him to direct our lives. That's what we mean when we say that Jesus is Lord. And that's the way I understood it. I remember the first time singing that chorus, "He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen." And Paul seems to indicate in Philippians 2, because he is risen, now he has a name above every name, and he is Lord. He is the one that we want and desire to follow and guide our lives. And for me, I know for me, I want him to guide, mentor, and advise me on life's journey. And so we're looking at that this morning and knowing that he is the one that we turn to who guides our lives and leads us. Second thing is Jesus is a ruler like no other. Now, I don't think we'll dispute the idea if Jesus is Lord, that he is the ruler. He is the king. He is the master. He is the one that leads us in our lives. But I wanted to say it in a different way because I want to distinguish Jesus from everything else that we know about rulers and leaders and kings and emperors in the first century. And so I want to say it this way, that Jesus is a unique leader from everything else that we read about. Most rulers of the first century, especially Roman emperors, would rule over others in complete dominance. In fact, we have Kyrios, which is Lord, that was referred to, that they would call the emperors, or Caesar. But the other term, a Latin term, Dominus, which is where we get our word dominant, to dominate from. That's where they were called. And they because that's the way they ruled. And they ruled with complete dominance. And sometimes, more often than not, they used violence and oppression if necessary to keep the rule. Well, Jesus is not anything like that. And we know that from reading the scriptures and studying his life and reading how he interacted. Jesus was not only not that type of leader, but he taught his followers a different way of being leaders. He basically said, when we read from Mark 10 this morning, great leaders are servants. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a servant? You may not feel like you're up front or where people can see you or anything else, but you say, well, I do more things behind the scene that nobody knows about, and sometimes I don't get any thank yous for what I do. Guess what? You're the greatest in the kingdom. Not according to me, but according to Jesus. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I believe one day that when we stand in heaven, that there are going to be people that nobody knew about that are going to be rewarded greatly in the kingdom. And it's not going to be Billy Graham, Jason, or any of these people that we know about, or TV preachers or anything else. It's going to be people that served and did things behind the scene that nobody knew about. And great leaders are servants. And not only that, did he say that and taught them that, but he demonstrated it by giving his life to liberate people. Now listen, there's a difference between liberating people and dominating or controlling people. And Jesus comes along. And let me say, any group that professes Jesus, that wants to control or dominate people, they are of a different spirit than the spirit of Jesus. And that's why he leads even this way to this very day. How do you know that, Jason? You might ask. He taught parables that told us how the kingdom of God functions and works. And he let us know that God leads through love, and that he leads through love and works in our lives to this very day. Even Paul in 1 Corinthians says that when the Holy Spirit is in operation in local congregations, it is all done decently and in order, not chaos, not control, not manipulation. It's just God working through love and his spirit. And acknowledging then Jesus as Lord means that our allegiance is to him. And I think that's probably the one that we probably would think is most often true. In other words, Jesus is everything to us. Just as the emperor was everything to everyone in the Roman Empire. He was like supreme head honcho, top dog. I was thinking about some of these terms this week, you know, that we use for people that are important, you know. But he does it in a different way. And he calls us to follow along in that same way, that we are operating in faith through love, as Paul says in Galatians. And when the early followers of Jesus professed Jesus as Lord, they were heard as saying, Caesar is not Lord. Other rulers are not Lord. And that was a radical confession that meant Jesus is first and foremost and supreme. He's the one, but he's the one that does that by overseeing us, caring for us, providing for us, leading us, guiding us, healing us. All those things that I talked about last week, where we talked about him as Savior. He even says, the last words he spoke to his disciples, I will never leave you or forsake you. Who is Jesus? He is our Lord. But he leads us through this messy life in peace, joy, love, and faith, and shows us how to lead and serve others. Now, maybe you desire for Jesus to lead your life, but you fear letting go or allowing him to do that and guide you. Whatever the case, you are welcome to experience Jesus. And let me assure you that when you experience his guidance, he does it lovingly and leads us down paths of peace, because he wants the best for us. Next week, we will encounter Jesus as the way. Who are you, Jesus? Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go ahead this morning and prepare our hearts to receive of the Lord today at the table, and to experience his grace and his love, as we so often do. Oops, sorry. I didn't realize I did it again, didn't I? I did that, was it last week or the week before? but we're going to begin today in preparing our hearts like we always do by our thanksgiving and confession to the Lord. And so let's join together as we pray and open our hearts to receive of his grace today at the table. Lord Jesus, you call us to be partners with you in life, but we confess we're not happy being partners. We prefer to have our own way. We like to manage the world without your guidance. We come to the table to remember the love which led you to lay down your life for the world. As we remember what cost the God of love, pour out your grace on the bread we break and the cup we share today. Let us taste of your renewing love that refreshes us and moves us to greet each day with fresh hope. Amen. Let's receive that today in the name of the Lord and receive of his forgiveness, receive of his refreshing, that we might be filled with hope and not fear, that we might allow him to lead us in our paths of life this morning. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, if they would make their way as we prepare to share at the table and receive of the Lord today. All are welcome to come today.
Gathered together, Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it and gave thanks for it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. So this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it, and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, just take a minute or two, shake a few hands, and greet one another this morning, and then we'll close out with our last chorus there this morning. He is Lord. If you want to sing out the hymn book as we close out, or on the PowerPoint, He is Lord. We'll sing it through twice this morning. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Well, let's join together for our benediction. As we go, remember the words of the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of us?
Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
May God's loving kindness comfort us. May Christ's faithfulness inspire us. And may we walk in humility and hope, with the Spirit guiding us. Amen. Amen.